You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 in our series, Jesus Never Said That. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's our special guest speaker, Eric Anderson, with today's message.
Well, hey, Mid-Current, how you doing? Yeah, so good to be with you. Like Sten said, I'm Eric Anderson. I actually work for the denomination, the ECC, as a director of events. And it's an honor to be with you here this morning. I need to say a few things about Sten. Sten and I have been friends since teenagers. We grew up at the same Bible camp together. Obviously, his hair lasted longer than mine, but, and I'm not jealous, I'm just saying it. But here's what you know about Sten. Like, over the years, as I've seen him grow as a leader, Sten loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sten is an incredible father. He's an incredible husband. He's an incredible pastor. But I got to tell you something about Sten. He loves this church. When I see Sten at events and whatnot, he's like, oh, Mid-Current's doing this, Mid-Current's doing that. I'm like, okay, I get it. They're great. I understand. Just invite me to preach now and then. I'd love to be with you. But I got to tell you, you are blessed to have a leader that is so God-centered and God-honoring. He loves the movement, what's happening here in Western Wisconsin and what God's doing in this church. So you are completely blessed. And I'm honored to be here to continue this teaching series called Jesus Never Said That. And over the past few weeks, you've been looking at some of the statements, and you will continue to look at some of the quotes and misquotes that almost daily happen to be applied to Jesus. That well-meaning people like you and I, inside the church and outside the church, at times ascribe and define God in ways that we shouldn't, and they actually fall into Jesus never said that category. Like things like, you know what, Jesus said all dogs go to heaven. Well, we know where cats go, but all dogs go to heaven. He never said that. Or Jesus said, hey, if you eat kale, you'll have a better relationship with me. No, he never said that. We say things about God and who he is and what Jesus said that actually fall into this category. Now, those are humorous ones, but there are other ones and myths and statements that are actually dangerous, that they keep us from drawing close to God and from doing the things God wants us to do. And the myth and the misquote we're going to unpack today, I believe, is one of the most dangerous ones out there. It's one that we see without a doubt as the most relevant, culturally believed lies that our world has clung on to. And I'm telling you, this is so relevant and commonplace in our world today. You see, many people wrongly believe this. You may have heard it. You may have said it. And you may even believe it, but people all over the world today believe this. You can see it on the screens. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. It doesn't. If you're taking notes today, you have a notes app on your phone or your Android. I don't know what it's called on the Android, but whatever that note-taking app it is, I'd love for you to take some of these notes because this is important for us today. That people believe, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you feel it deep down in your heart. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as it fits with your life situation, new dietary infatuation, or new workout obsession. As long as it works for you. And the dangerous part is, my friends, Mid-Current, and those of you watching online, is that it really sounds good. This sort of feel-good theology has its appeal to it, that our God is so big, so compassionate, so caring, that it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. And if we're being honest this morning, and I hope we are, is that we want this one to be true, don't you? We want this to be true. I know a lot of people who are sincere. They don't go to church or follow Jesus, but they're good people, sincere people. But the question is that enough? Is sincerity is what God is looking for? And is that what Jesus said? I mean, I hear this all the time. In my new role, I get to travel a lot, and I hear people say that, hey, well, you know, you're a good person, you're better than most, you're gluten-free, so you're all set, right? But is that what Jesus said? Or I've actually seen this more prevalently at funerals. And there's actually one feeling that sticks out to me by a guy named Timothy. You see, the lead pastor, Timothy, passed away, and he said, hey, Eric, you're new in ministry. Why don't you take this funeral? I don't want to do the funeral anymore. I don't do this one. And I said, you're the lead pastor. Isn't that your job? And since I wanted a job, I didn't say that, so I took the funeral. And so I did it. But what sticks out to me was I'll never forget that person after person after person got up and made these vague, empty statements about who Timothy was and the life he lived. Like, oh, he was good, he's a hard worker. And all those statements were just empty. Didn't talk about the life he lived, abundant, how he gave back to the community, his faith. No. Just all these empty statements kept saying because he was just sincere. But then I'll never forget this next moment. I was up there helping people do the kind of moments of sharing, the remembrance. And there was one guy in the back, almost by the doors there at the front. And he was shuffling back and forth during the whole funeral. And he kept kind of walking back and forth, nervously. Until finally he shuffled his way up to the front. And he got up there and he said this. I wrote this down because I've never forgotten it. He said this. You know, Timothy, he wasn't a person of faith. He didn't do the whole church thing. But it's all good because... And then he paused. And there was silence in the room. Because he wasn't sure what he wanted to say next, or really he believed what he wanted to say next. And he had his hands in his pockets. You could hear the change sort of rattling with his nervousness. And we were all silent, waiting to hear his very next word. And what he said was this. You know, Timothy, and he looked up. He's probably in a better place right now looking down on us because, you know, all roads lead to God anyway, right? And he walked off the stage. And the room was silent. The about 150 to 175 of us were trying to comprehend what we had just heard. Was it true? Was what he said actually true? But there was a sense of hopelessness, not only for Timothy, but for the guy who just said what he said. So the question we're going to wrestle with today is, was that guy at the funeral right? Do all roads lead to heaven and to God and being right with him? And did Jesus really say that? That all roads lead to the same place as long as you're sincere? I'm going to push pause on that question. We're going to get to that later. But since you showed up today and you decided to come because the guest speaker was here, and this is a Christian church, and we believe God's word, we open the Bible, is a living, breathing thing that can change our lives now and forevermore. We're going to look at what the Bible says about this for a few moments and what Jesus has today. And what's fascinating, my friends, is the Bible is incredibly clear about this. And Jesus is crystal clear. And there's two passages I want to point out before we keep going. It's this. First one is John 14:6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. And then again in Acts 4:12, he says, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. And when I read these verses and I study them, the Bible is clear. There is just one way, one option when it comes to knowing God, being forgiven, and spending eternity with God in heaven. And that one way is through the person and act of Jesus Christ. See, Christianity has a personal God exposed to us through the love of God's Son, Jesus. He offers forgiveness of our sins, not based on our religious efforts, our own accord, or how hard we try, but based on God's goodness. And the only way to get to heaven, experience salvation, and life abundantly is through Jesus. Now, some of you are saying, hey, Eric, you've made your case. I get it, but I have a question, Eric. What about the other world religions? Like, are they right? Or is God right? Like, is what they say is actually true, or is what God's word says actually true? In fact, the last year at seminary, I was there. So many years were boring, but this was good. This year was good. I studied world religions and folk religions around the world. And what I discovered changed the way of how I see Jesus and what he actually says in God's word. And so we're going to spend a few moments here. I'm going to give you a brief overview of four world religions. And I'm not judging people who ascribe to them, who believe in them. I'm not judging people on their personal beliefs. What I'm saying, I'm taking a bigger, broader stroke. I'm going to take a moment just to look at them and compare them to Christianity to show you what Jesus actually says. And the first one is this. Hang in there with me. That Buddhism is an example. They have no God. Buddhism has the final has no final type of existence. Buddhism believes that there is just a process where you are reborn and reborn and reborn. There's no afterlife. You are just reborn and reborn and reborn until you eventually tap out and you want no more of it. That's what they believe. Then there's Hinduism. Very different. Hinduism has an impersonal God that is only approached through deities, idols, and statues. I mean, very different. They do not offer forgiveness of sins or supernatural help whatsoever. Only karma. You've heard of this, right? What goes around comes around. If you do good things happen to you. If you do bad things happen to you. Like after service, if you flip me off on 94, you get the point. So here's the deal. That's the point. It's a cyclical belief. If you do good things happen to you. If you do bad happens to you. Karma, round and round you go. But then there is Muslim. This following, this worship, this religion has a personal God named Allah. And there is no secondary gods like Hinduism, Buddhism. There's a total ban on those idols and deities and statues. But your standing, how this God sees you, is solely based on your religious efforts, how hard you try, how hard you work. If by God's grace you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps every day, maybe, just maybe, this God will love you. But the chance and the odds are just like this. And there's one more that fascinates me, and it's this following in religion of New Age. And I hadn't really done a lot of study in this until I was in seminary, and it reaches every corner of the earth. And it's a little bit different. It's a little bit ethereal, but it's very popular in many, many places in the world. They have no personal God. They're going to believe most often in a higher conscience and just wanting to be. Their hope is waiting and wanting to be one with the cosmos, one with the earth, and one with the universe. And so when we look at these, just for a moment, each one of them, Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, New Age, and every other option the world has to offer, what we find is that they all have radically different answers to the questions of life, and they all claim to be true. So the question is, we wrestle with McCurran. We have to ask, are they all equally true? Are they all equally right? And is the only issue when it comes to following whatever God we believe in, sincerity? Is that what it relies on? If you're just sincere, it works. And if that's true, then where does that leave you and where does that leave me? Here's what I know, and this is the big idea of the day, and if you're taking notes or you want to take a screenshot or whatever, this is it. That a person can be sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time. Sincerity isn't the issue. Being sincere about the right thing is. I'm going to say it one more time. A person can be sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time. Sincerity isn't the issue. Being sincere about the right thing is. When we're sincere about the wrong thing, we end up with the wrong picture of God and the wrong understanding of life and ultimately in the wrong destination. So when we come across people, when someone says to us, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere, we as people, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, one, you say, Jesus never said that. And two, I don't think that's right. Because God's word and his son who came up there down here never once said that to be true. And with a few moments here, I just want to talk to you. This is just friend to friend. We're new friends. We just met. Hopefully we'll be longtime friends. You can follow each other on Facebook and Instagram and all the things. But I just want to share with you as just a broken pastor why I have bet the farm on the Christianity in light of all those other religions. In light of all the other things the world throws at us, culture, and why I believe following Jesus is more than just sincerity. It's far deeper than that. It's three things for me. The first is the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ puts him in a different class and category than any other religion, any other following, any other belief system or deity. The ultimate miracle of predicting his death, going to the cross, where he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Takes his final breath, dies. They put him in a tomb, roll this gargantuan stone over it, and then 3 days later, he's not there, and he's alive again. The fact that our God loves us so much, he sent his perfect, sinless son to the cross to take on our sin and conquer death is a game changer for me. To me, it is the linchpin of Christianity. Why we are here today in this room is because that event happened. And for me, the second reason why I bet the farm on Christianity is a relationship with Christ. Christianity is the only religion where God came from up there, down here, so that we could be free from everything that separates us from him, so that we could be in full relationship with him, to become what we were created to be the version of ourselves that God said, this is how I made you. I made you to be this version of yourself. Everything else this world is ripping at you and tearing at you to be, no. My relationship with you will show you this is the version that I made you to be. And it took me too long to figure out this next point, is that Christianity really is Christ plus nothing. It's Christ plus nothing. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Not Christ plus good works, not Christ plus baptism, not Christ plus child dedication, or Christ plus church membership. I mean, those are all good things. But those are out of an overflow of the relationship, because truly the relationship with Jesus is just simply Christ plus nothing. He didn't come to create a religion. He came down to show us the love of God. And while religion is about me, the relationship is about Jesus. In fact, I can illustrate it for you this way. I know Sten's probably showed you this before, so I'm sorry if it's repetitive. There's two ways of thinking about following Jesus in a religion and a relationship. You see on the screen, a religion is about what I do. It's me focused. How I act, how I believe, my actions, my day-in-day rhythms of life, how I choose and behave, and how I can have sin management. And religion says it's all about me. I'm the focal point. Not this other God or deity. No. It's all about me. And then it's all about what you can do. Have you tried hard enough? Do you make yourself look polished enough? Have you worked hard enough? Did you start your day making sure that you were good enough? That's what religion tells you to do. And that's how I grew up in my faith background. Just do, just keep trying, keep working. And maybe, just maybe, it gets to that fourth point. Maybe, just maybe, if I obey God, maybe I can grovel to him and he'll love me. Maybe. Maybe this God out there actually cares about who I am. But the relationship side, Midcurrent, this is what changed me. It probably changed a lot of you. That a relationship with Jesus, you can go back to that slide, is all about what Jesus has done. And you guys talk about this all the time, that Jesus went to the cross so that we could be new and have a relationship with him. Theologians call this the great exchange. Jesus went to the cross to take something and do something that we deserved, but did it on our behalf because he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want it for a gold star or a gold medal. He didn't want to endure the worst pain ever imagined from humanity as another notch in his belt buckle. No, he did it because he loves you and you and you. He did it to be in a relationship, and it's all about Jesus when it comes to relationship. Jesus is like, I want to be at the focal point of your life. Jesus wants this relationship. He doesn't want to gaze down where life's all about us. He wants, no, it's a reverse of the viewpoint that I want you to see me, that I'm the focal point of your life. And out of that, that's when you see life change. And it focuses on what's already been done, not what we have to do. And I love this last point when it comes to the relationship. Because God loves, we're going to go back to one more slide at the end of that last one. Because God loves me, I can obey. Because God loves me so much, out of that, then I choose to follow him. Because he loves me so much, we say, God, I give you my attention and my affection. Everything else I'm going to prune away. I'm going to remove it from my life because I want you to know that you have my attention, my life, and my full affection. And when you look at all these religions, No other religion points to a God like that, who takes the first step, who pursues us and woos us with his love, who enters into a relationship with us. And the last reason I bet the farm on Jesus and Christianity and the message of Christianity, and the last reason I've given God my everything, is life change. Jesus Christ has changed my life. I've seen God in my life have life change moment after life change moment after life change moment after life change moment. I've seen God heal me from my anger issues. You can ask my family, but please don't. But I've seen God deliver me a daughter when we battled infertility through adoption from another continent. Well, I didn't deserve to be a dad. We couldn't have kids, and all of a sudden, here comes this bristly, wonderful 7-year-old. That's only God's miracle. I've seen God heal me from my grip of the addiction of lies and relational manipulation. I've seen it. Life change, life change, life change, because I gave him my attention and my affection. He's changed my everything, and I've seen so many miraculous moments. Honestly, I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking, moving miracle. There's moments where I've sensed his nearness when I felt extreme lostness and loneliness. And many of you have experienced that. I've experienced his spirit inside of me say, hey, Eric, go this direction when I didn't know which step to take. I've experienced in my life moments where I look back and I'm simply overwhelmed by the goodness and grace of who he is. And several of you today in this space need to be reminded of what God has done in your life. We forget so quickly. We have this like little mosquito sort of viewpoint of life. We forget all the times that God did this, God did this, God did this, God did this. But like, what about right now, God? And he's like, shh, remember what I've done? Do you remember where you came from and who you are, who you used to be and who you are now? And we forget what God has done, the miracle after miracle. And I got to say this. And if you haven't had your life changed by Christ, what I'm simply asking you to consider right now is Jesus. Just sincerely consider Christ. I'm not asking you to consider a religion, a denomination, a cult following, or any other Christian. None of that. What I'm asking you to do in these moments here today is to consider Christ above all else. And the reason I can ask you to sincerely consider that, because there's this passage in the Bible that I think that speaks so profoundly to it. It might be the most famous passage of all time. It's very much hung up at Packers games because they need it. there it is. I'm a suffering Bears fan, so I apologize. So it's John 3:16-18. And there's a translation, when I was far from God, and I put my value and worth in everything in this world, that someone pulled me aside and said, Eric, this is what you need to know that Jesus says about you, and this is what he actually says when it comes to following him and how he thinks about you and thinks about me. He says this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, we just can't miss this. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was, and don't miss this. He came to help to put the world right again, to put your life right again. See, when I read the scripture, I hear Jesus saying to all of us in this space, saying, hey, don't you see? I've come to do what only I can do. I've separated you from every illness, every pain, all the things that you used to carry by yourself. I separated you and this world and every ounce of creation so that one day we could be set right. And every other path and every other religion and faith, no matter how sincere you are, is going to leave you and lead you to a sincerely wrong outcome. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. Because Jesus is the only way. And I can put it this way. If you were working at a hospital and a fire broke out and you knew only one safe and secure exit, what would you do? You're the one, you're a nurse, a doctor in this hospital. You were the only one. The fire breaks out, you knew there's only one safe and secure exit. What would you do? Well, you could run around looking for other options. You could say, is there a door over here or a door over there? You could question and wonder, why didn't the architect put a safety latch over here? It would be so close and so easy next to that stairwell. And you could spend your time doing that, searching and searching and searching for a way out. But as the smoke and fire and the heat grew, all you'd be doing is putting yourself and your patients at great risk. Instead of doing the one thing you knew you should be doing, is heading towards the one exit, the one place, the one direction that knew you'd find safety and urge everybody to go with you as well. The bottom line is, friends, Christianity is Christ plus nothing. And that's what he says. And so our reaction, our call to action is to daily follow him, to do whatever we can, to daily say, you know what, I'm going to follow you. And if there were other ways to get to heaven, we don't know about them, he would have told us. But he's only told us this way, what he said. And the only sensible thing for each of us to do in the face of eternity and a life here, now and abundantly more, is to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for him and have him be the focal point of our life, have him be give him all of our attention and affection, and have everybody do the same. And so as we close, I'm asking you, Midcurrent, have you? Have you said yes to Christ plus nothing? Has that math worked out for you? Christ plus nothing. If you haven't given your life to that sort of following Jesus, to the one and the only way to have life full now and forevermore, I'm here to tell you there's no better day than today for you to go home and say and write down in a journal, you know, today is the day I'm going to live Christ plus nothing. I'm going to text Sten. I'm going to email my small group leader. I'm going to tell everyone at my if table. I'm going to say to everyone that today, as I decided, that's Christ plus nothing. But I sense there might be some others of you in this space that your faith has become Christ plus something, like Christ plus work performance, because that's where true happiness is. Or Christ plus looking like you have it all together. Looks really good on Instagram. But sometimes it leaves your soul so hollow. Others of you, it's become Christ plus you just trying to sponge out your own sins. What you do privately, all of a sudden it's coming publicly, and you're trying to figure it out. Like, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to work this out on my own. Or others of you, it's become Christ plus like church games. I grew up that way. If I check that box, that box, that box, I live 168 hours a week, but I gave Christ four, the 164 are just for me. And you play these games. Well, I don't know what it is for you, but if it's been Christ plus something, my invitation to you is to stop. You can let that go. Because you have a heavenly Father that looks at you and goes, I love you just the way you are. You're not perfect. That's why I sent my son to you. And that's why you get to come to me, just as you are. And I think it's why this church is so healthy and vibrant. It's because it's all about where real people meet a real God. That's it. It's Christ plus nothing. That's when you find life abundant and full, and you find freedom. And it's exactly what Jesus said. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, today I look to you, and even in my own life, God, I just want to say sorry, and I want to work harder to make sure I'm living what I'm preaching, that it's Christ plus nothing. God, that song we sang earlier, there's no other king like you, and that's absolutely true, and because of that, we get to believe what you said, that it's not just about being sincere, God. but it's about following you. And may we take that courageous step, wherever we are in our faith, whether we've never taken one step or we've taken 1,000 steps, may we be reminded of what you're doing in our life and what you say about us and what you said about following you. May we pray these things in your matchless name. Amen.
What a powerful message. Eric, we are so grateful for you being here with us today. Thank you so much. Lots to think about this week. As you go out today, I just want to remind you quickly that if you'd like to come and get some exercise with us on Saturday at the Global 6K, please sign up on our homepage, midcurrentchurch.org. And also join us next week for week 4 of the message series, Jesus Never Said That. You are not going to want to miss this one. Thanks for being here and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.